repeat what Elder Harper said. When we come to church, we have to come with that expectation. Amen. We know we really believe that God's going to do a new thing. And if you look around by sight, it doesn't look like it. Amen. But we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Amen. And God moves not according to what we think or what we feel, but God moves according to faith. And Jesus took one of the smallest seed, of the very smallest seed, to illustrate how the smallest faith can yield the greatest results. He said, if you have great faith as the grain of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, yet when it's planted and when it's nourished, when it's nurtured and when it grows from the smallest to the greatest of all the trees. So we thank God for that. Amen. And we just bless the Lord once again for the anniversary, amen, for the services. And the anniversary is important, but important that we hide the Word of God down in our hearts. Because when God blesses, you can be guaranteed somebody's working on the other side. Amen. Amen. And we just thank God for that. We're going to ask you to stand tonight. We're going to read in Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And our subject that we're going to deal with tonight is the other side of compromise, which is conviction, which is being steadfast. Tonight, we want to deal with being steadfast. Amen. Unmovable, Paul said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Actually, let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 15 first. We'll just read that one verse of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read that first. We deal with being steadfast. When you think of something steadfast, it's something that's planted firmly. Amen. Something that's not easily moved. Well, the challenge that we have in the church today is that too many things move us. Amen. Too many things move us. We're not planted. We're not firm. Amen. We're not a solid foundation. And too many things move us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. We're just reading that one verse of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. And we're dealing with it's a mindset. Amen. Paul, when he spoke of how the Holy Ghost showed him in advance the things that he had to suffer for God, he said that he was, none of these things could move him, which means he was steadfast. We have so many challenges in our lives. Amen. So much uncertainty. You know, if we try to think about tomorrow a little bit, a lot of us, we get kind of scared. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. They're doing this and they're doing that. And they're plotting, they're conniving, the devil's working. But the scripture says, if God be for us, who then can be against us? Amen. So let's read this and then we'll get into the message. We're going to read just one verse of scripture. So can we read it enthusiastically? You don't have to give a lot tonight. One verse. Amen. Let us read. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Amen. Be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for a mind to believe your word, a mind to believe thy will, and a mind to believe the prophecies concerning the work that you're going to do in these last days. Lord, tonight we thank you that we walk not by sight but by faith. Lord, we thank you on this evening, O God, that in spite of all of the Red Sea and before us, Lord, in spite of all the walls of Jericho that see the hand of us shut out, Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, Lord, our hearts desire tonight to speak. Lord, speak into our situations. Lord, search every heart. Lord God, search every mind and discern what is the needs of this side people. Then speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Now can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. and think of steadfast. It's something that's planted firmly, planted solid. Amen. Because as Jesus, the Lord said concerning the church or Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said, I allowed you to have some tests. I allowed some things to come your way. And God said, I did not allow these tests to come to overthrow you. I didn't allow these things that seemingly were working against you to come to tear you down. But God said, I allow these things to happen so I could know what was in your heart. Amen. Tonight, we have challenges ahead of us. Amen. And most of the time, if we look at what we see, we will lose hope. Amen. We will lose strength. We will even wonder, Lord, are you here or what are you doing? And just remember this, when God is for you, no matter what the devil does, he loses. Just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and they were on their way to the conquest or to the promised land, now they did not even know that Balaam had hired Balak to curse, Balak had hired Balaam to curse them. They were just going about their everyday routine, their everyday business. And behind the scene, God was working. And that's what we have to understand by faith. We don't know everything that's happening behind the scenes, but God is in control even behind the scenes. Amen. So Balaam and Balak were trying to curse Israel. And we got to remember, as long as we wear God's name, amen, as long as we wear his honor, as long as we're in God, he is fighting our battles. So Israel did not know that the enemy was plotting and conniving, trying to curse them. But our blessings, our assurance is in this fact. Balaam said, what God has blessed, no man can curse. Amen. And that's what we stand on tonight. That's why we are steadfast. Because we know that we are blessed and we are not cursed. Amen. If we wear the name of the Lord, and the scripture said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. A lot of names are weak. But when we're in God, it's a strong tower. And the great thing about this tower, the righteous can run into it and they are amen. So tonight we want to be, as we go back, my beloved brethren, he says, be what? Steadfast. Jesus refers to steadfast. He gave the greatest illustration of steadfast. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6, when he talked about all the winds of adversity that were blowing against the house. Amen. Anybody tonight got some winds blowing? Anybody got some adversity going tonight? Amen. Well, Jesus describes steadfast this way. He said, when the rains descended and the winds blew upon the house, it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And what did the Lord allude to? He alluded to all those that hear his word and do it. Amen. It's not enough just to hear the word, but he that hear the word and do it, the Bible says, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Well, the reason that we are not getting the blessings of God is because we really don't believe God's word. Amen. We come to church, we jump, we shout, we give the initial response to the word, but then we're not really steadfast. Somebody said, well, it's for God I live, for God I die. Then why is the first test? Are you almost ready to quit throwing the towel? That's not steadfast. That's not planted on a rock. That's not resisting the winds of adversity. Amen. To resist means you got to be planted solid. Amen. So when the winds blow, you're still planted. Amen. We want steadfast, and then because I'm steadfast right now, you can't be moved. Amen. We're going to have tests. Amen. And I was a little negative to say this, let us be mindful to pray for those in Colorado, all of the stuff that's happening. The world, you know, the world is saying the world is a wicked place, that this is the church. The people in the world, as I listen to the different news broadcasters, saying this world is just wicked. They said, who could have the mind to go into a movie theater and just start shooting people in random? And the thing is, this guy was part of the academia. He was very intelligent. And the devil doesn't go by your intelligence. Amen. When he's going to do something, it doesn't matter. So let us be mindful to pray for them in Colorado, for the families. I think it's up to 71. Either were 12 were killed and 59 were injured that they had in last count. So let's be mindful to pray for them. But the world is a wicked place. Amen. The only safe place, the only safe haven is in church. Well, guess what? The devil knows that. The devil knows that the only safe place is in church. So what does he do? He allows things, or not allow, but he brings things in your life to distract you away from God. Because as long as you're in God, he can't touch you. Amen. As long as we're in God, and the Bible, the old time is called the church, the ark of safety. As long as you're in the ark of safety, the devil cannot touch you. Amen. The psalmist said, 1,000 will fall at thy right hand, at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy left, but it won't come nigh thee. It won't touch you because you're in. Well, let's go to Psalm 91 quickly. Amen. Even I kind of have a message prepared, but it's, I can't stay in the flow. Amen. I can't stay in that flow because I think a lot of us, when we're coming to church, we let too many things beat us up. We come to church, we're so beat up by whatever's happening in our lives and around us that we can't even really hear from God. We're here in body, amen, but mentally we are kind of out of touch. We've lost contact with God. So let's go to Psalm 91. It's important for us to realize as long as we're in church, we're in a special place. Amen. As long as you're in church, you're in a special place. And no matter what the devil tries to bring against you, he cannot touch you because we're in church. Verse 1 reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. No place like church. Amen. As long as you're in God, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You're like the mother hen with a goose, with her chicks, or whatever they call them, brood. Amen. You're like that. As long as you're under that protection. Amen. As long as you're dwelling in the secret place of the what? Most High, the devil cannot touch us. Well, the devil knows as long as you're in that place, he can't touch you. So you know what he does? He allows things to happen to get your mind diverted so you remove yourself away from that protection. Amen. He allowed trials to come, and in your mind you said, Lord, I just don't know how this happened or where this came from. But then all of a sudden, you're allowing yourself slowly to be drifted away, little by little. The devil knows he can't get us at once, so what he does, he breaks us down little by little. Then all of a sudden, you stand from where you are, and you say, Lord, you ask yourself the question, Lord, how did I get here? What happened? He plotted against you little by little. What is he trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you away from the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Verse 2 reads, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my God, in him will I trust. Amen. What are we trying to say tonight? We need to be unmovable. We need to be steadfast. But where? In God. Amen. We need to, listen, you're going to have troubles whether you're saved or not saved. Amen. As long as you're in this world, you're going to have problems. Wouldn't it be the better wisdom but to be to have trouble with God on your side? He said, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from any traps that they're trying to set, God will deliver you from. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from all of the, let everything fall down. And this is what we had in church. I don't know, we keep hearing about Obamacare and all this. He will deliver thee. Why? Because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. As long as we're under the shadow of the Almighty and we're trusting in God, He will protect us. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou. God is protecting us, just like the mother hen does her chicks. Amen. You know, even the smallest birds, when you ever try and go to a bird's nest, as big as we are, what does that mother bird do? She'll start attacking. Amen. She'll fly, she'll do everything. She can't really affect us, but in her mind, she does anything to protect her little ones. That's the same way we are with God. As long as we stay in the nest. Now, once we get outside of the nest, once we get outside of the ark of safety, then it's woe is us. As long as you stay there, the mother can protect you. As long as we stay in church like we should, God can protect us. But then once we start giving in that, once we start allowing our trials to take us away from God, we lose our source of protection. Amen? We don't want to lose that source of protection, so we need to stay in God. He goes on to say, His truth shall be thy shield and nothing like the truth. Next verse. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Why? Because we're in the ark of safety. We are under His wing. We are under His shadow. So God is protecting and keeping us. They can forecast all they want to forecast. If God says no, then they cannot touch us. And this is where we have to have this confidence in God. Confidence in God. Now, we're going to come back to this. Can you go to Hebrews chapter 10 for one quick second? Hebrews chapter 10. We have to keep our confidence in who? God. Actually, go to Hebrews chapter 3 first. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, then go to Hebrews chapter 10. We must keep our confidence in who? God. Amen. Don't allow anything to happen. Whatever happens, you know, we've had lots of trials here at Agape, but our confidence is in God. It's not in man. All right. Go to verse 14. We're not going to read all of that for the sake of time. It says, For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the what? Beginning of our confidence out, steadfast until the end. We're going to have a whole lot of challenges, a whole lot of unexpected things. As we learned through the seminars, a whole lot of new things, a whole lot of different things. Amen. But we can't lose our confidence. We cannot lose our confidence. The devil knows, you know, whoever plays sports, everybody plays sports. You can play against a team that's 100%, 1,000% better than you. But if you take away their confidence, amen. I know when I used to coach, our team was never good. For the most part, we weren't good. But we had a lot of confidence. So I used to tell them, whenever you steal their confidence, amen. No matter what you do, when you steal another individual's confidence, even though they're more powerful than you are, better than you are, once you get their confidence, they're in your back pocket and you're in control. Well, the devil knows, and if he can steal our confidence, then he's in control. So what did he do? He said one wave of trouble after another. Amen. It's sort of like the Lord said concerning Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What is he trying to do? Destroy your confidence. Amen. Said if we're made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning. You know, in the beginning we all ran well. But Paul asked the church in Galatia, what does hinder you now? In the beginning, you had a spiritual walk. You had a spiritual agenda. Amen. You always kept God number one. But through the process of time, through your trials, through your tribulation, God is kind of sliding back. Amen. We're putting some things before God. So that's not the beginning of our confidence. Amen. We need to get back to keeping God number one. Amen. We should seek God the first thing in the morning when we wake up. Why? Because we want God to honor ourselves throughout the day. Because known unto God are all of his words from the beginning. So if we need help, let's go to the one that knows what's going to happen before it happens so that he can direct ourselves. Amen? Does that make sense? We need help. You can come to me, but I don't know enough. Amen. You can go to someone close to you, but they don't know like God knows. He knows what's going to happen. So in the morning when we pray, oh, God will put something in their mind, and this is how God works. This is why it's important to pray. A lot of times we get up, we just take off, and we don't acknowledge God. When you pray, and God, all of a sudden, God will put something in your mind, and you say, well, God, I don't really understand it, but I'll do it. And then a little later, you have a catastrophe or something that happened. You say, well, thank God I prayed, because he directed me away from the trouble. How did he direct you? Because he already knows what's going to happen. So it's important that we keep the beginning of our confidence. Amen. As we walk with God, some of us, when we don't keep our spiritual lives intact, we start losing confidence. So, well, how can you say that? Well, in the beginning, nothing can stop you from coming to church. But a few trials came your way, you say, oh God, well, what is church? Amen. In the beginning, nothing can stop you from praying and being a witness to God. But as trials come, you say, oh, well, I don't really know if I should talk about the Lord or not. You're beginning to lose your confidence. Amen? It's time to get that confidence back, because we are only made a partaker of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence how? Steadfast until the end. Amen. Everything that the devil throws is to try to kill our confidence. Amen. You cannot win this battle with willpower. You can only win it with God as our fighter, our confidence, and our trust. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's verse 35. Our confidence tonight. Where is your confidence? Is it really in God? If your confidence is in God, no matter what happens, you have the resolve, God, I know you're going to fix it. Amen. Eventually, you're going to work it out. I don't see how, and I don't know how, and I don't know when. But I know he's going to fix it. That's confidence in God. Now, when you start to lose your confidence, there are indicators of us losing our confidence. When we put God second, and there are other things before him. When we put worshiping and serving God second, we're starting to lose our confidence. It says, cast not away therefore your what? Your confidence. Paul, the reason he was writing this to the Hebrew brethren, is because they had started with God. They were all on fire with God, but then some religious leaders came and told them that Jesus' self is not what it should be. So instead of them staying in God where they should be, they were going back on the Judaic system, or going back to Judaism. They were going back to the law, or being delivered by the works of the flesh. That's when you're losing your confidence, when you go back to the things that God has delivered you from. Say, well, that's your indicator. The things that God has delivered us from, when we go back to those things, we are losing our confidence. Amen? So he says, confidence which has what? Great recompense of reward. You don't want to do what? Lose your confidence. Well, how do I know? What? How do you react in your trials? Do you react knowing that God is going to fix it? Or do you go back to the old way of doing things? That's losing your confidence. Let's go back to Psalms 91. Let's go back to Psalms 91. We're going to go through this whole 91st division of Psalm. And this is a good Psalm to learn because it covers almost every aspect of trouble in life that we can have. Amen? We were on first five. I'll go to six, we did this. It says, nor for the passer that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. No matter what happens, God is protecting you. Verse 7 says, a thousand shall fall by thy, well, why? Because I'm in the ark of safety. I'm in God, I have not lost my confidence. I'm steadfast, I'm unmovable until the end. So because I stayed in God, though my best friend left, people I thought would never walk away from God, left God, I did not lose my confidence. Amen. It hurts when there's some people you thought they would never leave God, and all of a sudden they're gone, and it almost crushes you spiritually. Don't lose your confidence. Amen. So he said, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy. All around you there's nothing but trouble. Well, why won't it touch you? Because I stayed in God. I did not lose my confidence. Even though everything seemed as though it was working against me, I was steadfast and I was unmovable. Amen. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Only with thine. All of this is happening around about us, and there's some things, unfortunately, that happened that almost devastated. But guess what? God has protected us. It has not touched us. Only with our eyes. We've seen, we've heard. But even in the midst of the trouble, God has kept you and I. So why don't we go outside of our source of help? Amen? Only with our eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord. Amen. If I can get you to do anything else tonight, don't get outside of God. Amen. No matter what troubles come your way, still make the Lord your refuge. Stay in God. Amen. I've seen some people fall through the years that I thought would never fall. But I couldn't allow that to cause my faith to waver. I have to stay in God. Amen. Because I realize that as long as I'm in God, I can see it over here and I can see it over there. But God said he won't let it touch me. Amen. Don't you want that type of assurance, that type of blessing, that type of help? I'm in Christ. Even the Most High, thy Lord, I live in God. Amen. I dwell in God. I abide in God. Jesus said, if you abide in me, making the Lord my what? Habitation. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will, God said, I'll do it. Why? Because God is our habitation. We refuse to be moved. We're steadfast. We have not lost our confidence. Amen? He said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come out of that. Why? You're in church. You're in God. So because you're in God, God gives you all these additional blessings and benefits. Now, when you start getting outside of God, you can tell because things that normally would not have happened to you happen. When the unexpected happened, take a gut check. Lord, either you're trying to get my attention to get me where I need to be, or you're allowing the test to come to see if I really believe you. Every test is intended to reveal where we are in Christ. Amen. So when a test comes, we run. God said, I got to give you another test. I don't want you to go away from me. I want you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now he said, I will give you rest. Amen. So in the midst of the trial, when God sees you going away from him, he said, I got to give him a little more test. I got to give them something to bring them back to me. Amen? He said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come by thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in. Amen. Why? Because I stayed in God. Amen. I refuse to be moved. I refuse to let anything take me away from my source of strength, help, and protection. Amen. So because I stayed, he would give his anger charge over me to keep me, lest at any time we dash our foot against the stumble. And the next verse reads, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The lion is dangerous and the adder is poisonous, but with God. Why, this is the question that as a church and as individual saints we need to ask. Why would I go away from my only source of protection and help? And that is who? God. Tonight, the question that we are to all address, amen. The longer we live with God, the harder the devil fights. Because he said, if I let them get planted too good in God, I can't get them. So the longer you stay, the harder he fights. Because he's trying to destroy your confidence. He's trying to destroy all of our confidence. So you say, man, I thought it would get easier. No, you're a greater threat to the devil than you ever were before, because now you are planted and you are solid. And you're on a solid rock. So you're more of a threat. So now he has to fight you worse. But then he plays in the playground of our minds and says, you all this in God. Well, shouldn't it be getting easier? No, God never said it's going to be easy. Amen. Paul says we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It's not going to get easier. We have to fight harder. Amen. Every time we get a test, purpose, I'm going to fight that much harder. The young lion and the dragon shall now trample under feet, because he has sent his. Why? Because I didn't leave church. Amen. I refuse to allow anything to push me away from God. So he said, love upon me. Therefore, he said, I will whatever you get. Because you stayed in God. He has given us the assurance. He loves us and he's going to deliver. It's not by what we see, it's not by what we think. We have to stand on God's word. Amen. Deliver them. He said, I will send him on high because he had known my name. When we stay in God, he will deliver us. He will set us on high. And we won't lose our confidence. He shall call upon me and I will. Well, why? How did you get all of these benefits? I stayed in God. I did not lose my confidence. I did not allow that test that I was not expecting me to drive me out of church. I did not allow that test to take me away from the ark of safety. And because I was planted on a solid rock, I was rooted and grounded in love, then the Lord says that he's going to answer me. He might not come when you first call him. He might not come when we expect him. But because God loves us, he will always be on time.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes some things in life, they almost overwhelm us to the point that we wonder, well, God, do you really love me? Are you really concerned? Don't lose your confidence. One thing about God, God does not mock his word, and he does not mock prayer. It says, be not deceived. God does not what? Mock. In other words, God is not going to make a mockery out of you, or he's not going to allow you to be placed in an embarrassing situation when you trust him. Because he said you're going to reap exactly what you have sown. So we don't have to be deceived. Amen. The devil works in our minds to try to deceive us to think that what's the use? God says you have my assurance. Amen. You might not have it for anybody else, but you have my assurance that I will not mock what you're doing. If you keep doing good, amen, if you continue to do right, verily thou shalt dwell in the land, the scripture said, and God will feed you or God will bless you. But you gotta stay planted. Amen. You can't allow everything to keep pushing you. Amen. You can't keep running. Amen. Like, I know somebody years ago, they just be running. I said, well, what are you running for? They say, I don't know. But there's a scripture in Psalms that talks about running when nobody's chasing you, because you don't have confidence in God. Amen. You can look it up for yourself. Look at that scripture. It says, people are running and nobody's even chasing. Why? Because they lost their confidence in God. He said, I will deliver him and honor him. With what? When you stay in God, God's going to bless you. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. Well, you don't get it outside of God. You only get this in God. Amen. I think it's the last verse, right? All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 24. We'll close here. This is enough. Amen. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to just rehearse. We have troubles, we have trials, but we can't allow them to get the advantage over us. Amen? We can't allow our trials to get the advantage over us to the point that we begin to lose confidence in God. Amen. The only guarantee, there's only one surefire guarantee that we have in this life. That if we stay in God, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If we get out of God, we have a whole lot of unexpected things that we have to deal with that God never intended for us to deal with, because we are going away from our source of protection. Verse 1 reads, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders. Now notice, when Joshua, in addressing the people, he didn't just go down to the Lord people. He started off with the chief of the people first. He said he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side. And he's dealing with them, not losing their confidence. Amen. Stand on God on this side. When you lose your confidence, you begin to go back to the other side. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron and plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. He's rehearsing where they were and where they presently are. Amen. As I believe Pastor Warren said, it's good to reflect on where you were just to know what God has brought you from, but don't stay back there. Amen. So God is showing the children, he said, these are the things that I've already done for you. I did it through your fathers, I did it through your ancestors. He said, but this is what I've done for you. Now this is where you are. He said, I brought your fathers out of Egypt and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen up to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen. How many have seen? Thank you, Lord. It's good to reflect that what God has brought us from. That's how we can keep our confidence. Your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. God said, you see how I've delivered you. You see what I've done for you. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. God has rehearsed. These are all the things that I've done for you. What has God done for us? I know he's done great things. He does so many things, I cannot tell it all. God has done some great things for us. So it's time sometimes just to reflect on where God has brought us from. All of the great things that he's done for us already. Then Balak the son of Zippor, who we noticed a little earlier, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not harm him. When you're in God, I don't care what they try to do. Amen. God says, you are mine. In the day that I make up my jewels, he said, you are going to be my peculiar treasure. You are mine. So even though they're conniving and planning and trying to curse you, God says, not so, because you are mine, because I did not leave out of God's safety, or the safety, and most of all, I did not lose my confidence. Tonight, have you began to lose confidence? Amen. You have blessings that accompany staying in God. Therefore, he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Now these are all nations that were bigger and mightier than them. But this is what God can do when you stay in God. When you don't lose your confidence, when you do not stray away from the ark of safety. So that I've given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, and in what sincerity? God said, now I've done all of that for you. And then the only thing I ask you to do tonight is serve me. Now, how am I going to serve the Lord? In sincerity means honesty and integrity. Amen. Honesty and integrity. Honesty and integrity is not between you and another individual. It's between you and God. Amen. Because God sees you when nobody else does. Just serve him in sincerity and in... That word truth means to be planted firmly, steadfast, and unmovable. So tonight, God requires that we serve him in sincerity and in truth because of all that he's done for us. Notice he didn't tell us to do anything else. Just what? Just serve him in sincerity and in truth. We need to really check, you know, not just you, but all of us need to check ourselves out. Amen. You need to do like a spiritual checkup. Lord, am I really in you where I should be? Have I allowed circumstances to cause me to lose confidence in you? Lord, do I just serve you now as a matter of a routine? Or do I serve you in sincerity and in truth? You know, God knows, and the devil knows. Amen? You know. God knows, and the devil knows. What is my worship? Amen. Am I in all honesty and integrity, sincerity? Am I in all honesty and integrity, sincerity? He said, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. What was happening? They had lost their confidence. Amen. They had not kept the beginning of their confidence and steadfast to the end. So after all God had done for them, now what are they doing? They're going back to the other side. Cast not away, therefore, with your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't go back. Amen. Said, on the other side of the flood of Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, this is Joshua dealing with them, because they were going back. They were losing their confidence. They were no longer steadfast. They were no longer unmovable. They weren't abounding in the work of the Lord. They were going back. The moment we start going back, God has this indictment against us that serving me in sincerity and in truth. No one has to know it's you and God. God will give some spiritual indications to the leadership, but God knows and you know. Are you serving God in sincerity and in truth? It's time to get back on the Lord's side. He says, choose ye this day. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for what I can do. He says, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Whether the gods which were your father served them on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But I can say this tonight, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Just a couple other scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, sorry, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We want to serve the Lord with sincerity and in what? Truth. Amen. Sincerity and in truth. This, one of the greatest indicators for where we are spiritually in God, is when things start happening, do we add, like Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, now you're going back to the other side of the flood. You're going back to the very thing that God delivered you from. You know, this is how you know when you're not serving God in sincerity and truth. The very thing that God brought you out of, the sin, the all the mess, when you get confused and don't know what to do, you go back to that. You lose the confidence. You're not in God the way you should be. You're not serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Verse 8 read, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. And leaven is always symbolic of what? Sin. Are going contrary to God, are missing the mark spiritually. Leaven, as an indication of us missing the mark spiritually, are not really having the mind of God. For neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of what? Unleavened means it's just pure. Amen. Leaven. Anybody cook, everybody make bread, everybody make some biscuits, right? How about a cake? Everybody made a cake, a cupcake, right? If you don't put no baking powder in that cake, what does it do? Stays flat, right? So you put a little baking powder in there and stuff blow up a little bit, right? All right, make bread, you have yeast, it's the same thing as leaven. You throw just a little bit of yeast in there and let it sit long enough, it blows up. Well, what God is saying, he said, now, if you can take the smallest amount of sin, or the smallest amount of something that's contrary, and he said eventually it will overtake the whole lump. So he said, now what I need you to do, he said, don't serve me with the leavened bread of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of what? In other words, you're sincere, you're pure, you're true, you are honest. Amen. Well, what happens? The longer we're saved, the longer we learn that God is a merciful God. Then as we learn that God is a merciful God, then we begin to presume on the mercies of God. Amen. We begin to take God's goodness for granted because God has forgiven me. So if he does it once, if I do it again, God is a forgiving God. Serve the Lord with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Tonight, we do not want to lose our confidence in God. We know, amen, based on our reactions and what we do, do we have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Or is there some other stuff in there that God needs to get out? As long as it stays there, eventually, a little leaven will leaven the what? Oh, Lord. As long as you keep them little things in there, that little stuff that's not right as far as God is concerned, eventually that will take over you. And eventually you will find yourself being driven by something. And it will even astound you. And you'll say, how did I get here? Because you did not get out the old leaven. Amen. What God delivered you from, don't go back. Amen. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. And we are made partakers of Christ if we do what? Hold the beginning of our confidence, how? Until the end. Don't allow anything to cause you, your faith to be shipwrecked. Amen. I think 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 talks about those men that caused the faith of others to be shipwrecked. Don't allow anything or anyone to cause your faith to be shipwrecked. Stay in God. Stay planted. Stay firm. Even when the winds of adversity blow, stay in God. Amen. Let us stand as the altar team come forward and the ministers. It's time to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Joshua said, choose ye, not tomorrow, not next year, but choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. Once you make your mind up to stand for God and refuse to allow anything to impede or hinder your spiritual walk, God can help you. But once you start dipping and dabbing and just playing with the devil and playing in and out of church, eventually the devil is going to accomplish his purpose. And he's going to take you away from God. Let me plan, let me root it firmly in the Word of God.
Let your say amen. Hallelujah. It was good for us to be here. And I can speak for myself, it was good for me to be here. While I was still speaking, there were so many different messages that he spoke in the past that would come into me. And watching how the Spirit led them, that means there's people out here that are going through some things. But we need to just take heed to the Word of God, that's all. It's that simple. We just need to take heed to the Word of God. Amen. If we need any confidence, if we need to get strengthened, all we have to do is turn back to Psalm 91. It just starts off with, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you start to think of shadow, amen, and shadowing you from the sun or the heat, when you understand that God can be our shadow, we don't have to worry about anything. Amen. So I'm just going to keep it simple and just say, amen, if we have started to lose confidence, amen, and then we think about what the message was saying, that just be steadfast and unmovable. And one of the sermons that came to my mind was when he was talking about spiritual maturity. Because when we start to become spiritually mature, amen, the same trials that used to test us and push us and move us a little bit, all of a sudden we started to gain some strength and some weight when those tested trials came to push us. They started to realize that I can't push him or her the same way because they are steadfast and unmovable. Why? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. If anyone needs prayer, if anyone's going through something, and we've started to lose confidence, saints, we cannot be easily shaken. Amen. We need to just sit down and rest in the Word of God. not go through when we're in Christ. It's gonna happen. That's all right. That's all right. We might have to crawl in here sometimes. We might have to have somebody behind us pushing us in here, because it's gonna be hard. Amen. But just rest in Christ. Let's find that secret place. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, amen, so we can, amen, help and get guidance and prayer for finding that secret place. Amen. Just come to the altar, it's open.